The Bible readings for today are Isaiah 35 and Psalm 146, and so we begin with Isaiah 35. The wilderness and the dry land shall be glad. The desert shall rejoice and blossom like the crocus. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given to it, the majesty of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of Yahweh, the majesty of our God. Strengthen the weak hands and make firm the feeble knees. Say to those who have an anxious heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance. With the recompense of God, he will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap like a deer, and the tongue of the mute sing for joy. For waters break forth in the wilderness, and streams in the desert. The burning sand shall become a pool, and the thirsty ground springs of water. In the haunt of jackals, where they lie down, the grass shall become reeds and rushes, and a highway shall be there. And it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it. It shall belong to those who walk on the way. Even if they are fools, they shall not go astray. No lion shall be there, nor shall any ravenous beast come upon it. They shall not be found there. But the redeemed shall walk there, and the ransomed of Yahweh shall return. And come to Zion, singing, everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. They shall obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. Psalm 146. Praise Yahweh. Praise Yahweh, O my soul. I will praise Yahweh as long as I live. I will sing praises to my God while I have my being. Put not your trust in princes, in a son of man in whom there is no salvation. When his breath departs, he returns to the earth. On that very day, his plans perish. Blessed is he whose help is the God of Jacob, and whose hope is in Yahweh his God, who made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, who keeps faith forever, who executes justice for the oppressed, who gives food to the hungry. Yahweh sets the prisoners free. Yahweh opens the eyes of the blind. Yahweh lifts up those who are bowed down. Yahweh loves the righteous. Yahweh watches over the sojourners. He upholds the widow and the fatherless, but the way of the wicked he brings to ruin. Yahweh will reign forever. Your God, O Zion, to all generations, praise Yahweh. So we're in the lead up to Christmas. Our family were actually sort of having an early Christmas this weekend. That's why we got family visiting. But even at his birth, Jesus is very much aligned with the lowly of this world. Yeah, it comes very obvious when there's no vacancy, right? No accommodation available for him. And so we have this freshly born baby wrapped up in cloths and laid to sleep in a feed trough. So he's the King of Kings, but for him, there was no royal palace. There was no special comforts. There was no deep respect paid to him from those in high position and authority, at least not from his own land. And throughout history, disciples of Jesus have come from all levels of society. And together, as the people of God, no one is greater than the other. In Christ, the high and lofty are brought down, and the lowly are lifted up. The Apostle Paul said to the church in Corinth, so in his first letter that he wrote to them, he said, "For consider your calling, brothers. Not many of you were wise according to the worldly standards. Not many of you were powerful. Not many of you were of noble birth. But God chose what is foolish in the world
to shame the wise. He chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. He chose what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring to nothing things that are, so that no human being might boast in the presence of God. And so, if you feel that you are nobody special, that's okay. Because none of us are. We are not special. But we are called by our Saviour, who is very special. All right, so our Bible readings today, Isaiah chapter 35 and Psalm 146, foretell the coming of the Messiah. And in this foretelling, they proclaim something which is proven to be true. There is a very good reason why the Messiah was especially welcomed by the suffering, by the broken, and the oppressed. Isaiah proclaims, "The eyes of the blind shall be opened. The ears of the deaf unstopped. The lame man will leap like a deer. The tongue of the mute will sing with joy." And then in the psalm, he says, he executes justice for the oppressed. He gives food to the hungry. He sets prisoners free. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. He lifts up those who are bowed down. He watches over the sojourner. He upholds the widow and the fatherless. Right? All of this is exceedingly good news, especially for the poor, for the disabled, for the sick, for those who have no power to stand up for themselves when they're mistreated. It's especially good news for the lonely, for the bereaved, and for the destitute. And when Jesus the Messiah did come, he didn't get a whole lot of rest because the crowds came to him. The need was obviously enormous. And the crowds would come and they would bring the sick, the deaf, the lame, the dying for him to heal. No wonder Jesus was loved. But for how long? I mean, even John the Baptist had his doubts. John the Baptist, I think it was when he was in jail and he wanted to know, "Jesus, are you the one?" And so he sent one of his disciples to ask Jesus, "Are you the one that we've been waiting for? Or should we keep on looking?" And Jesus said to that disciple of John, "Well, you go back and tell John what you've seen and what you've heard." He said, "The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, the poor have good news preached to them, and blessed is the one who is not offended by me." Right, so all of these things were foretold about the Messiah. And Jesus was right there doing them. No wonder he attracted the crowds. But hang on a minute. Where were the crowds when Jesus was crucified? Well, they were there then too. Only by now, they were shaking their fists and shouting, "Crucify him!" You see, Jesus said, "Blessed is the one who is not offended by me." But ultimately, despite his goodness, despite his healings, despite his compassion, most were offended. Jesus, the Messiah, God's cornerstone, became a stumbling block, a rock of offense over which many would stumble. So, the coming of Jesus is good news. Good news for the suffering, good news for the broken, good news for the oppressed. Sadly, for many, it takes a time of utter desperation to get them to turn to Jesus. It's sort of like Jesus is a last resort. You know, they wait until their lives are just a pile of rubble and they just don't know what to do before they turn to Jesus. But even then, many will completely miss the true nature of the blessing it is to know Jesus and be known by him. You see, we humans, we tend to fixate on current earthly blessings. And when we do that, we completely miss the most important part, the blessings of the eternal kingdom of the Messiah. And so some people are looking for immediate results. So I turn to Jesus and everything's going to be good and wonderful. And they look for immediate results. And when they don't get those results, they become very discouraged. Because for years, maybe, they've been praying. And they've been praying in faith. They've been believing for something. They've been believing for a miracle. They've been believing for a healing. They've been believing for the depression to be taken from them. They've been believing for their bills to be paid and maybe for a bit of extra to come into their bank account so that they can have a few nice things to spend on themselves. And they see others receiving their blessings. They see them receiving their miracles, but for them, they feel empty and unsatisfied because they haven't experienced that. The thing is, to understand the kingdom of God requires a radical change of our mindset. It needs to shift from our short-term earthly mindset and to begin to live in terms of the eternal kingdom of Christ. And that, my friends, is a matter of faith, great faith. You see, it's not about believing for something. It is about believing in someone. The miracles of Jesus, including the miracles that continue to happen today, because miracles of Jesus do still happen today. But the miracles of Jesus is the kingdom of God breaking into this world now, but we're only catching little snippets of it, little glimpses of the kingdom of God. Because not all are healed. And even those who are healed go on to die. And just like last week, we were in Isaiah chapter 11 last week, and we talked about how even today we get little glimpses of the kingdom of God, but when Jesus returns, this will be the Messiah coming in all of his fullness of his kingdom. And because the Bible reading that we were reading about was talking about when the time when the lion lays down with the lamb. Now, when the lion sort of tucks in with the lamb, it's got nothing to do with peace at the moment. He's sort of looking for getting his hunger fulfilled. But the time is coming when Jesus returns, when the lion will lay with the lamb. It'll be a time of total, it's a picture of total peace and no danger within this world. And we need to understand that today's readings are also looking forward to the same time when Jesus returns. When Jesus returns, the dead will be raised, the wicked will be judged, the righteous will inherit the earth. We will receive a new eternal resurrection body. And the older I'm getting, the more I'm looking forward to that one. It's going to be a body where there is no more blindness. I've already had to have my cataracts done. It's a body where there will be no more deafness. Do you hear that one, Robin? No more deafness. She keeps nagging me, Michael, you're deaf. And I go, what? I have no idea that I'm deaf. When Jesus gives me a new body, I won't be. There'll be no more brokenness of our bodies that have become too old or too fragile to function properly. There'll be no more pain, no more evil, no more poverty, no more injustice, no more grief or sorrow to weigh us down. At about this point, I would usually ask, who's looking forward to that? And all the old people put up their hands as along with a few young ones. Yep. So, having said all that, today I want us to consider two simple questions. Firstly, what does the coming return of Jesus, right, the coming Messiah, mean for us? And secondly, how do we as a church do what Jesus did? That is, preach the good news to the poor, suffering, broken, and oppressed. So let's consider the first question. What does the coming return of Jesus, the coming of Messiah, mean for us? Well, what it means is that today we live by faith. And because our faith is in him, and we know that he's going to return, our faith means we express that faith with joy. and hope and confidence in our Lord. You see, when Jesus preached, he said in Luke chapter 6, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God," right? So I want you to watch what is and what is to come, right? So blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you shall be satisfied. Blessed are you who weep now, for you shall laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you and when they exclude you and revile you and spurn your name as evil on account of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap with joy, for behold, your reward is great in heaven. Right? It's not about today. It is about living for today in the light of what is yet to come. Because our faith is in Jesus Christ, because we are confident that Jesus will return, wow, that gives us hope. That gives us joy today, even as we go through some of the most dreadful, horrible times that you could possibly think of. Around about this time of year, we sort of look over what the year has been like, and some people will use the phrase, is it Annus Horribilis or something like that? I don't know if it's a real word or not, but it sounds good. Annus Horribilis. In other words, I've had a really bad, bad year. And some of us might have been through a really, really bad year. But you know what? We are not living for today. We are not living for the year that we've just gone through. We are living for the kingdom that is ours. We are living for the kingdom, the eternal kingdom of God that is yet to come. And for our faith to be genuine, it means that we need to put that sort of faith into action. Isaiah commands it. In the light of the kingdom that is to come, he makes this command. Strengthen the weak hands and make firm the feeble knees. Say to those who have an anxious heart, be strong, fear not. You know what, when I was going to Bible college and I was being taught about pastoral care, and some of you think, surely Michael was never taught pastoral care, he's not very good at it. But when we were taught about pastoral care, they might have said, well, they did say something along the lines of, you can't just say to people, get over it. Yeah, you can't just say to people, get over it. You've got to, and they sort of tried to teach us about counselling and stuff. Well, the thing is, biblically, we actually do have to tell people to get over it. When you're down and cast and you just feel like, oh, I just don't want to go on, strengthen the weak hands, make firm the feeble knees. Say to those who have an anxious heart, well, it's not exactly get over it, but be strong, fear not. Because that's what faith is. That's what faith is. You know, when you hit that deep, dark pit of despair, and you might even feel like giving up, and in that deep, dark, lonely, miserable place, Satan begins to whisper to you lies. You might even say you can make that pain stop. Your life is too painful. It would be better for you to end it. Then you'll have peace. Remember, he's a liar. You will not have peace. Do not listen to the evil one. To give up, to end everything, is the words of faithlessness. But for disciples of Jesus, we have a very different story. You have a very different story, and this is what Isaiah is reminding us of. We have our heart set on something which is far, far greater, something which is yet to come, and so we strengthen our weak hands. We make firm our feeble knees. When our hearts are filled with anxiety, we are reminded, be strong, do not fear. Don't be anxious, Don't be afraid. Why? Because our God is coming. Look, he says. That's what the word behold means. Look, he will come with vengeance, with the recompense of God. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap like a deer and the tongue of the mute sing for joy. Where are you at the moment? Are you downcast? Are you filled with gloom and foreboding? Where's your faith? Do not put your faith in today. Do not judge God on what you feel you're going through today. You need to remember that your faith is in Jesus. I heard of somebody once who was asked, how are you going? And they were actually going through a pretty tough time, but instead of giving the normal reply, you know what the normal reply to that would be? Oh yeah, all right, under the circumstances. Their reply was filled with joy over the circumstances. I think that's a pretty good reply. Pretty good reply. In faith, don't be downcast. Don't give up. Fix your eyes on Jesus and on the day of blessing when he returns. And you know what that will do? Whenever we do that, that should always fill our hearts with praise. You see, genuine faith in Jesus and his coming will always lead us to praise. What else can we do? Psalm 146 began with the words, praise Yahweh. Praise Yahweh, O my soul. I will praise Yahweh as long as I live. I will sing praises to my God while I have my being. In other words, while I'm still alive, no matter what my circumstances are, I am going to continue to praise God. And even when he ends the psalm, he ends it with praise. Praise Yahweh. Now, that psalm, Psalm 146, is a song. You understand that I had a minister once who used to call the psalms the prayer book of Israel. It sort of is, but it's more the song book of Israel. The psalms are the hymns that they would sing. Some of them are songs of prayer. But Psalm 146 is a song about putting our trust and hope into the right place. And what it is saying is it is pointless to go looking for salvation from a ruler. How many generations of people have looked for a ruler that they can put their hope in for their salvation? Oh, if only we can get the right ruler, they're going to sort everything out. It's pointless to go looking for salvation from a ruler, hoping that they will give us justice. More often than not, princes, prime ministers, and premiers have a habit of letting their people down. In them, there is no salvation. They are but men and women. They too will die, and their plans and visions will not last. In faith, we turn to God. And not just any old God. You know, there once was a time where, you know, if you talk to somebody about, oh, yeah, I believe in God, they, oh, yes, I believe in God. Whereas in our society now, you actually don't know what that means. Now you've got to ask, which God do you believe in? Because most folk like to worship a God of their own creation, a God that is pretty much like themselves. But Psalm 146 makes it very clear who this God is in whom we can trust. He's the God of Jacob. And it constantly uses God's personal name, Yahweh. Now you'll see on the Bible reading up there, wherever the words the Lord is written in all capitals, the word behind that in the original Hebrew is actually God's personal name, Yahweh. Did you know that about your Bibles? Whenever you're reading the Old Testament, if you see the word the Lord in all capitals, in the Hebrew, that is Yahweh. And if you ever see the word God in all capitals, that also is the word Yahweh, which is God's personal name. Right, so it goes like this. Blessed is he whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in Yahweh his God, who made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, who keeps faith forever, who executes justice for the oppressed, who gives food to the hungry. Yahweh sets the prisoners free. Yahweh opens the eyes of the blind. Yahweh lifts up those who are bowed down. Yahweh loves the righteous. Yahweh watches over the sojourners. He upholds the widow and the fatherless. But the way of the wicked, he brings to ruin. Yahweh will reign forever. Our God, O Zion, to all generations, praise who? Which God do you think we're going to praise? Praise Yahweh. We're left in no doubt in whom we should trust. So, what does the coming return of Jesus, the coming of Messiah, mean for us? It means a life of hope, means a life of joy. It's a call to faith, a faith that will fix our eyes on the prize as we endure the hardships of today and is to be filled with praise. The second question, how do we as a church do what Jesus did? How do we preach good news to the poor, to the suffering, to the broken, and to the oppressed? It's an interesting question. Because when you take stock and look at most of the churches in St. George, most of the people who regularly attend would be from either working class or middle class. And very few would come from the most poorest or the most desperate and the most broken segments of our community. And often, church ministries to the poor and broken focus on providing some kind of social aid. Maybe food hampers, maybe counselling services, maybe healthcare of various kinds. And that's good. Now, the Lord commends us to love and to care for the poor and the broken. But the problem is what we tend to do is we tend to remove what is actually the most important part of this, which is the personal engagement and interaction. It is to share in the lives of the poor and the broken and the hurting and the suffering, to personally share in those. And so instead of personally sharing their moment of pain and walking with them through it, more often than not, we want to come up with a program and hand it over to a professional to do on our behalf. And we never actually come in contact with them. Maybe we need to be reminded that Jesus took his disciples to the lowest of the low. And there among them is where the gospel was proclaimed and lived out. Now, while it is really important to help provide immediate physical needs, that in itself is not the good news for the poor, suffering, broken, and oppressed. You see, the good news that they need to hear is the same gospel that you and I need to hear. It is to have faith in Yahweh. It is the good news that our God is coming and he is coming to save his own. Now, Isaiah calls this the way of holiness. In verse 8 he says, "And the highway shall be there, and it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, It shall belong to those who walk on the way. Even if they are fools, they shall not go astray. You know, some folk think of themselves as being better than everybody else, and they reckon that, to become a Christian, you've got to leave your brains at the door. But then again, there's those who see themselves as the lowly, and they may feel they're not smart enough to be a Christian or not educated enough to be a Christian. And shame on us if we have ever been made to feel if we have ever made someone to feel that way. But the way of holiness has nothing to do with smarts. It is to do with faith, active faith. It's not just about believing, it's about walking. Verse 8 says, it shall belong to those who walk on the way. And not everybody gets to walk this way of holiness. It also says the unclean shall not pass over it. And it goes on to say that the redeemed shall walk there. And the ransomed of the Lord, they're the ones who are brought in. See, the blessings of the coming kingdom isn't a matter of some kind of equalization thing. It's not about the poor getting it good and the rich are going to get clobbered. It's not about the sick being well and the healthy going to be filled with suffering. It's not about those who have been harshly treated finally getting their justice while everybody else cops it. At the coming of Jesus, the blessings of the kingdom are for all God's faithful children. The way of holiness is only for the clean. It is for those who have received forgiveness. They receive Jesus as their Lord, confess their sins, and their sins are taken away. That's what it means to be clean. It is for the redeemed. It is for those who have been bought back. Jesus died on the cross to redeem us, to buy us back, to pay the cost of our atonement. To travel the way of holiness is to surrender our lives to Jesus and to receive him as our Lord and our Master. And then we follow him, walking on the way of holiness, eagerly awaiting his return. This is the message that we have to proclaim. How can we share that with those who are most broken in our community if we don't even talk with them? And that's why it's not about doing some kind of professionalized giving of aid to those who are most broken. It's doing what Jesus did. Showing love, but at the same time pointing to eternity and to the joy that rich and poor alike will have at the coming of Jesus. The joy that the suffering and broken will have, the same as those who've seemed to have a pretty good life. We share the same joy. That's the message we have to proclaim. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the blessing it is to be the redeemed. Lord, help us to walk the way of holiness. Fill us with joy, we pray, even in our darkest, most painful days. Give us a joy as we eagerly await your glorious coming. We do long for the day when all sickness will be gone, all suffering, all injustice, all grieving will be gone. Lord, fill our hearts with praise and help us to proclaim the good news to all people from every strata and class of society. We pray this in the name of Jesus. And we praise Yahweh. Amen.